Let us pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is Epiphany Sunday. They made it. You see the wise men over here? They have been on a journey through the whole of Advent. I don't know if you've seen them, but they started their journey outside somewhere in the vicinity of the fountain. And each Sunday they made a little progressively closer until they have arrived here today on this Epiphany Sunday. So have you ever had the experience of going someplace with the expectation of a certain group of people being there and being completely surprised by who is actually there? I have. I've been surprised by going to meetings or places expecting one group of people and you have a really different group of people. I had a friend that some years ago went to his very first AA meeting, and his anticipation was it was going to be a bunch of derelicts, a bunch of homeless guys, and he walked in there and it was businessmen in suits and business ladies, and just the whole walk of life were all there together at this AA meeting. Well, that's kind of what happens to King Herod in today's scripture reading. Herod was literally the king of the Jews. He had been set up by the Roman government. He was like a puppet king. He was there really to help facilitate effective administration for the Roman Empire. He was the king of the Jews. So he is lounging in his palace, eating bonbons or whatever it was that he was eating and drinking at the time. And these three wise men show up. And they say, "We are here looking for the newly born king of the Jews. Can you tell us where we can find him?" Now imagine King Herod's surprise that these three outsiders, these three apparently wealthy, sort of kingly-like wise men show up and say, "Hey, Mr. King of the Jews, we're looking for the newborn King of the Jews." I think he probably would have been very stunned by that, because he is in fact the King of the Jews. The arrival of these three men really shook things up for the people in Bethlehem and in Jerusalem as well. So let's take a look at today's scripture. It's from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born the King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for this child, and when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod. They left for their own country by another road. It's the word of God for the people of God. So today is Epiphany Sunday. It is a Sunday that we remember the arrival of the wise men, and it officially marks the end of the Christmas season, which started on December 25th. So just to remind you, in case you have forgotten, that little nativity scene that you have at your home that have the wise men in it, it's wrong. We have taken the whole Christmas tradition and we've kind of combined it into this one thing so that we have the wise men there and the shepherds are all there. It's a viewing of the whole story, really, is what we see when we look at those nativity scenes. But it is an error. The wise men were not there. In fact, Jesus was about 2 years old when the wise men showed up. We know this because the word that is used to, when they're asking Herod, where is this boy? Where is this young person who has been born the king of the Jews? The word, the Greek word is paidon, which means little boy. And if it was an infant that they were then looking for, it would be a different word. And then we also remember a little bit later on in the Gospel of Matthew, Herod has all of the male babies in Bethlehem killed that are 2 years of age and younger. It's called the slaughter of the innocents. But based on that, we estimate that Jesus was about two when they arrived. So the wise men show up and say, we're here to pay homage to this newborn king of the Jews. And Herod tries to trick them into revealing the location of the child so that he can pay them homage too. Right. We know because he had the males in Bethlehem killed, he had no desire to pay homage. He was concerned about his place as the king of the Jews. And the wise men, they follow this star, and at the star's end, they find the one that they are seeking, and they are overwhelmed with joy. Their two-year plus journey, has come to an end. I've never really journeyed anywhere that long. I've been on some long car rides, and I'm always glad to get there. But never have I spent 2 years looking for something, traveling as they have. So they're overjoyed when they see him and they offer him these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, throughout history, much has been made about these gifts that the Magi bring. Gold is a gift for a king. Frankincense is used in worship, and so it's related to priest. And myrrh is a spice that is used in anointing the dead. And so with these gifts, you get sort of a preview of Jesus. He is the King of Kings, the one sent by God. And he is the connection between us and God. And then we know that the birth of this child ends with his crucifixion. And so the myrrh is a reminder of the price that is to be paid. But the more important thing to me in this text is the presence of the wise men at all. These guys see a star and they follow it for 2 years. It's fascinating to me that in this scripture, it is the outsiders that know what's going on. They know that someone is here, that God has sent this child. The insiders, the king of the Jews, his priests, his prophets, his scribes, they are unaware that Jesus is here. It is the Gentiles that come to bring gifts and pay homage to Jesus, not the theologians, not the experts, not the high priests. Herod consults with the ones who knew the scripture, and they did not know. Those experts did not know who Jesus was. They knew where he was supposed to be born, but they were unaware that he was here. But the Magi knew. The wise men knew. And it's interesting to me that the people from far away know who Jesus is. I mean, even the shepherds were told. You see the humility of Christ in the fact that there was not a big announcement to the world that Christ has been born. There was an announcement to the shepherds. We knew about Mary and Joseph, it being revealed to them. But there was no big announcement to the rest of the world. And yet, the wise men knew to seek him out. This passage, I think, has lots of truth for us. But today, I want to pick up on just two of those truths. First, the people that believed they knew the most actually knew the least. The experts, the high priests, who thought they knew exactly what was going on, really didn't have a clue. They had no idea what was really going on. It could be similar to people who come to church, maybe even go to Bible study regularly, and they know about Jesus in their head. They know that Jesus came to save the world even, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. They don't really understand who Jesus is. They know about Jesus, but they don't necessarily live it. They don't believe it. You know, John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, was like that. He was an Anglican priest. He did all the right things. He preached every Sunday. He had a church that he served. And he never really got it as this Anglican priest. And so he goes to this Bible study about the book of Romans. And you read in his diary that he didn't really want to go. He wasn't very excited about it. He went reluctantly. But what John Wesley knew was that Jesus died for the world. What John Wesley didn't understand was that Jesus died for him. And at that Bible study, he describes in his diary that his heart was strangely warmed and that he recognized that Jesus had died for him. In that moment, John Wesley's relationship with Jesus went from something in his head to something in his heart. And I understand that experience. I was a 15-year-old boy. I'd grown up going to Sunday school. I was active in the youth group. I worked at the church. I had a key to every single door at the church. And I would probably best be described as an agnostic. I knew there was a God. I believed in that. And I knew all about Jesus. But I was really struggling with how the Son fit into the whole idea of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I struggled with that. I couldn't quite put it together. I was trying to like put it together like a puzzle in my head. And when we went on this mission trip to Tennessee, it was called Mountaintop, the Tennessee Outreach Project. It was kind of like UM Army, but we had to go to the hills of Tennessee, and we were working on literally hillbilly homes that were amazingly terrible. But we would gather every night, and we'd talk about it, and we'd sing, have a campfire. At one of those campfires, literally we were singing Kumbaya. My heart was strangely warmed. And I understood that you really can't figure it all out. It doesn't fit together like a puzzle. It takes faith. And I believed. And I understood what John Wesley said when I understood that Jesus died for me. See, I went from a head full of Jesus to a heart full of Jesus. Are you carrying Jesus in your heart? Is there room in there? Given what all the world tells us what's important? Second thing I want to point out is that it took the Magi, it took the wise guys a long time to get there. They were searching for Jesus for years. Took them a while to find them, but they traveled with the expectation that they would eventually find what it is that they were searching for, that they would eventually find Jesus. And you know, Jesus is fully human and fully divine, and he's 2 years old at this time. And I, in my mind's eye, have this picture of him looking at the Magi and saying, "Where have you been? What took you so long to find me?" So how did you find Jesus? I suppose some of us are like the Holy Family. Maybe it's revealed to us and it's just with us. We're faithful always. I've talked with people that have said to me, "Mike, there has never been a time in my life when I have not known Jesus and that Jesus is in my heart. I never had this moment, this epiphany." And that's okay. Not everybody has those. Some of us get to know Jesus as small little children and he lives in our heart forever. But there are lots and lots of people that are out there searching, looking. They may not really even know what it is they are looking for, but I tell you, the answer is Jesus. But they don't know. They're just kind of wandering around. They're searching. They don't know exactly what it is they are looking for. But what this scripture tells me is that no matter how long it takes us to find Jesus, when we come into his presence, he will be there waiting with open arms. All around us, in our community, there are people that are searching for meaning, searching for love, searching for forgiveness. It is our place to show them that in our love of Jesus. The truth is, each one of us are to be like the star that guides the wise men. By our love and our grace, people are supposed to experience God's love through us. You are to be like the star and help guide people to find Jesus. If you have not yet found the King of Kings, He's waiting. He is waiting for you to enter into His presence, to make room in your heart for Him to abide in you. He might ask you, "Where have you been?" But He is so glad that you are here. He is ready to receive you. And you who live with Jesus in your heart, you are the star, shining in the darkness. Your love and your grace that you know from Jesus that flows through you should be there for others to experience so that they too can love Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, we are so grateful for your grace and for your love. We recognize that the birth of Jesus was just the beginning of the story of our salvation. And it is through his crucifixion and his resurrection that we are saved. That you would love us so much, that you would do that you would endure that, is really almost unbelievable. But it is true. It is so true, and we thank you for your willingness, for your love. We ask, Father, that you would help us to be a star unto others, that we may direct them to you. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.